Can't tell you where to open up your Bible to. We're going to be all over the place today. But this year at Montague Baptist Church, our emphasis will be to remind ourselves weekly that the battle belongs to the Lord. Part of what we need to realize is that there is a battle going on. The enemy is attacking us on multiple fronts, and in order to defeat the work that God wants to accomplish, that means he's attacking you. That means he's attacking you when you're at home. That means he's attacking you when you're at work. That means he's attacking you when you're on the playground. It doesn't matter where you are, he's trying to thwart God's effort to use you to influence the world that is around us. There is a battle going on. The battle, though, however, is the Lord's. And we simply become soldiers in that battle. We become soldiers of our master. We become soldiers of Christ. And it's time for us to begin to realize that as soldiers, we are in boot camp. Boot camp isn't a place for rest. Boot camp is a place for preparation. And when you come to church, are you coming to church because you want to rest? Or because you want to prepare? Your battle is out there every day. This is a one time of the week that you can prepare, that you can have somebody train you, somebody push you, somebody tell you to shout. It's up to you, though. It's up to you whether you're going to heed that. Are you ready? How many of you really want to grow with God this year? Oh, that's easy to say, yeah. How many of you willing to sweat it out? A lot of us will say, hey, okay, I'm going to start exercising this year. I'm going to start eating better this year. I'm going to start drinking more water this year. I'm going to start this. I'm going to start that. But when it comes right down to it, comes down to the grit and the grin, a week later we forgot about it. And I'm afraid it happens with our spiritual lives too, doesn't it? We make these commitments and we don't follow through. We don't follow through because we don't realize the commitment that God is asking of us. You see, if we go into the scriptures, and we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. That's Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book in the Bible, way up in the front. It's the repetition of the law, that is the last book of the Pentateuch. And it says Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5. Here. It says here. Why would God start something with here? Because we don't always hear. We don't always understand. We don't always make the effort. But God is saying, here, listen up, open up your ears, pay attention, hear, O Israel. Now, we're not Israel. In case anybody ever tells you that the church is Israel today, the answer is no. The promises to Israel are totally unique to the Jewish people, to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can't claim that. I don't think more than half of you out here can claim that you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not Jewish. But God has given a unique promise to the church. He says, hear, O church, if I can bring it into the New Testament age. Hear, O Israel. And what does he say? He says, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. The Lord, Jehovah, the covenant God, the God that was willing to shed his blood for you. The God that reigns upon the throne of all creation. The God that never, that always has been and always will be. The God that has no beginning, the God that has no end. That God, the Lord. And what does it say right after that? He says, the Lord, our God. The only time that we are really going to be able to listen, the only time we can ever really hear is when we begin to realize that he is our God. We personally have decided to follow him. We have personally made the choice to seek after him. The Lord our God is one God. What does that one God speak about? It talks about the fact that he is simply one. There's not multiple things. There is a singular focus that you and I must set on. If we are going to realize that we are in a battle for the Lord, we need to realize who we're fighting for and who we're fighting with and who is on our side. And that is the one, only, the only God that ever really exists. All the us are just little g's. In fact, they're not even g's. They're actually d's. D's for demons. Cheap imitations, knockoffs. something that man has created in their own image after who knows what, after who knows how many thousands of years, we still do not see. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou, that's you. No, it's not the person next to you. It's not the person across the street. It's not the people that are up in government. It's you. But thou, you, it includes me too. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt you. This is what you should do. This is what you have to choose to do. This is not something that's going to become to you automatically. This is not a natural inclination. This is something that you have to choose to do. You shall love. Oh, I just love fuzzy things. They're so cute. Oh, I just love. No, not that type of love. That's a cheap imitation knockoff. That's an emotional, that's a temporary state. This is a permanent state. This is an attitude. This is a drive. This is a sacrifice. Because no love can ever be shown without sacrifice. You cannot know that I love you until you see me be willing to give up something in order to meet your need. If you think that I'm your pastor and that I love you, it's probably because you've seen me make sacrifices of time, of effort, and everything to come and meet you where you're at. And say, you know, there's a God that cares. Thou shalt love, make the sacrifices for the Lord, the Jehovah, the one who has redeemed you and bought you as his own. The one who cares enough. He is not just sitting up there on the throne with his hands on the throttle, controlling and making everything click. No, he is interested in you. He is willing to turn this world upside down for you, the Lord, your God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Love. How can we express love? What kind of sacrifices is it going to take for us to express our love? Well, the first thing we do is that we have to love, sacrifice, the Lord our God with all our heart. If we were to go to Matthew and read this passage, it says heart. And the word there in the Greek, oh, let's impress everybody, is cardia. As in cardio, as in cardiovascular, as in cardiac arrest, as in this physical organ that's in our body, a heart. Okay, here, Lord, have my heart. No, you've got to understand, what is the purpose of the heart? Jesus says that the life is in the blood. So why don't we love the Lord with all our blood? Well, because it can go. But our heart is what continually keeps that blood moving throughout. And that blood moving throughout allows us to think. That blood moving around allows me to move my fingers. It allows me to talk. It allows everything that I can do is dependent upon that heart pushing the blood through me. When my blood start, when my heart starts not acting the way it's supposed to, I can have a stroke. I can have a heart attack. My brain cells can die. All things are dependent upon that heart compressing. Now, yes, we have the marvels of technology today where we can go and plug you into a machine, but what does it do? It replaces your heart. It continues to allow the circulation of the blood in your heart. But thou shalt love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with every pulse of your being, with every blood flow that goes through your body. With every bit of oxygen that comes as that blood flows. That is how we are to love the Lord thy God. That means I'm not my own. That means every beat of my heart needs to be dedicated to making a sacrifice to show God how much I love him. Every beat of my heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Man, that's impossible. I mean, you know, my heart's beating and I got to get up and I got to brush my teeth. And, well, I put comb my hair back on the container, right? And then I got to eat my breakfast. I mean, you know, what does that have to do with God? Everything. If your heart's in the right place, if your mind is in the right place, you realize that every beat of your heart is allowing you to go through activities that are necessary for you to share the love of God and to show to the love of God around you. Your wife rolls over and she sees how ugly you are in the morning and she loves you anyhow. But you use that blood because you go in and you start trying to dress up this ugliness so that she will say, "You're looking good today, honey." And then you go and you eat some breakfast, and that blood keeps coursing through you because you need to eat some breakfast so you can have some energy, so you can go to your job, so you can do your very best to give God all the glory because He's the one that's given you that drive and that attitude. That heart continues to beat as you drive and you say, "Lord, give me alertness of mind so that I don't run into anything, so that I can continue to live and give you honor and glory." And then you're sitting down and you sit down and you start reading your Bible. And your heart is beating and carrying enough blood to your brain that allows it to understand the truth of the scriptures. The Spirit of God then gets involved and He says, "Rob, here's something for you. Clem," I decided I'm not going to try to use people's names. I'm going to invent a name. So Clem's my guy, right? I haven't figured a good one for a girl. But Clem's my guy. He's my illustration guy. And so my heart is beating and I'm being fed. I'm being strengthened. The Lord is putting burdens on my heart for Clem and other people. And He is working. But am I letting Him, or am I all of a sudden taking my heartbeat and saying, "Lord, I need to do this. Lord, I want to do this. Oh, Lord, that person next door, he is so irritating. I wish you could." No, can't say that, can I? But you see where the beat of every stroke of my heart, I want to say, "Lord, what am I doing for your glory? Lord, what sacrifices can I make for you because you have purchased me? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart." And we wish it would stop there. That seems so inclusive. What else is there that could possibly be? But what does it say there in the next verse, in the next phrase? "And with all thy soul." Now, wait a minute. This heart and soul stuff, that sounds kind of duplicate, right? My heart, and we think of all of our emotions and everything. But we're talking about this physical entity, this ability to push energy around to us, this very heartbeat of our existence. But then he says, "with our soul." And soul's a real tricky one to define, and you can get a lot of different definitions, and I've heard them all. You know, I've been to seminary, I got all the definitions on soul that you need, but I'm just going to give you mine. Is it okay if I give you mine based upon what I understand in the scriptures? And you can disagree with me, that's 100% fine. But to me, the soul, because we have heart, soul, and strength that comes on later on. So God doesn't duplicate words for no reason. There's a reason that there's a change there. And I think the soul is because of that is our mind, our ability to think, our desire to think, our desire to formulate thoughts, our mind, our will. I formulate thoughts and then I have to make a decision on what I'm going to do with that thought, what I'm going to do with that information that I've attained. And then I have my emotions and that's how I respond. How do they affect me? What do they do to my inner being? And so I'm going to do it with every heartbeat. I want to do that, but it's also with every bit of my soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions, are they there to show God love? In other words, am I allowing my thoughts to think about the things that show that I desire God more than anything else? Or I am more focused on thinking about things that make me feel good inside, whatever that might be. Your Lamborghini. Your favorite person. Your favorite TV show. Your favorite activity. What are you allowing your mind to think about? Is those thoughts really to serve the Lord? Is that really there to show love to God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And what about your decisions? You know, with every piece of information you get, you decide what you're going to do with that information. Are you going to take it and deposit it outside as if it's no good, like garbage? Are you going to take that information and look at it and say, I could learn something from this? Or are you going to make a decision that says, here's what I am going to do with God, with what God has placed in my mind? We make decisions all the time, don't we? Where we're going to go, what we're going to do, what we're going to eat. My favorite subject. And so, are we allowing our soul? Oh, what did we forget about soul? Mind, will, and
body.
Oh, come on. Nobody's been listening. Okay, let's go home. It said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, mind, will,
body,
emotions. What are emotions and how does that differ from our mind or from our thinking and from our decisions? It's how we react to those thoughts and those decisions. Does it make you sad? Does it make you glad? Does it make you cry? Does it make you anxious? What does it do? How do you respond to that information? And when you respond to that information, are you really responding to that information with, how can I use this to show God love? Or are you responding to it as, how can I protect myself? You see, there's a drastic difference there. And what the scriptures are telling us is that we need to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and with all our soul. All our thinking, all our decisions, and all our emotions should be made in such a way as to show God that we are willing to sacrifice what we have in order to serve Him. Oh, I'm exhausted. Let's go home. I wish. But the verse doesn't end there, does it? What does it say next? In Deuteronomy, mind you. I'm in Deuteronomy. It says something slightly different in Matthew. It says something slightly different in Mark. But we're just in Deuteronomy because this is the message the Lord gave me. He might give me a different message for those passages. But it says, thy strength. Thy strength. You and I go through life and we have great thoughts and we accomplish great plans and we eat great mood. Food, and that gives us lots of energy and excitement, right? And it says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our energy. Let me ask you, what are you doing with the energy that God has given you? Think about it. If we didn't have the comfort of this nice, maybe a little too warm sanctuary today, we'd have to be fighting to keep ourselves warm. So God's given us extra energy by providing us this comfort. But are we using it for Him or are we using it to... Not picking on anybody. Maybe Clem. But with all our strength that God allows us to have because of the comforts He gives us, because of the food He provides us, because of the friends that He gives us to encourage us, all that strength, all that we gain from God's provisions for us, are we using it to say, Lord, how can I serve you? In a world today that is so obsessed with independence, we need to get back to the idea of servanthood. I talked and I started out with today that the battle is the Lord's. We are in the midst of a battle. That means that we are soldiers or servants or slaves. But that is not a popular subject today. I'm free, I'm independent, I can be all that I want to be. Not if you want to love the Lord thy God. Not if you're willing to make those sacrifices. Not if you believe that He is the very reason that you are still alive here. God could take me off this earth like that.
And it's happened many a time. Mm-hmm. Pastors dropping in the pulpit because God is done with them. But he has given me another heartbeat, so I'm going to continue to put out more energy. I'm going to prepare a few more messages. I'm going to embrace and deal with more people because I love God. I am willing to sacrifice my time, my comfort, in order to meet the needs of others because my God is a wonderful God.
Amen.
And so we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with every beat that goes through us. We need to be allowing God, say, God, you allowed that heart to beat one more time. You allowed that coursing of energy to go through me one more time. For Lord, I don't know what else I can do, but Lord, show me what I can sacrifice today. What is it that I need to get rid of? What is it that I need to be willing to do? Lord, help me with the next beat of my heart to shine forth your love. And Lord, as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the day that's in front of me, as I'm getting ready to make decisions, as my emotions come welling up in me, Lord, let them be in such a manner as I can show you love. I can show you how grateful I am for that gift of eternal life that you freely bestowed upon me, that you sacrificed so much to give to me. Lord, this is the least that I can do for you, is to help my soul to respond to your love. And Lord, as that blood goes flowing through, as I think and make decisions about the events of every day, Lord, may I use the energy it provides to do something that shows the world what a great God you are. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And we're not going to get into the other part that's reflected. So, what is your motivation? What is your heart telling you that you need to do? Jesus said about that. He says in John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Is the next beat of your heart there so that you can do the work that he's left you here on earth for? He's actually sent you. Left it here just doesn't express the... He has sent you with a task. Are you fulfilling that task? What are you doing to fulfill that task? The next heartbeat, are you using it to fulfill that task that God has put you here, what God has gifted you with? What about your decisions? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord in all thy ways, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let me ask you, when it comes to your soul, are you asking God to guide you? Are you asking him to instruct you and to teach you, to guide you? Or are you just out there, well, I'll decide what I want to do when I want to do it and how I want to do it? No. We're talking about a sacrifice. Therefore, what I want to do is no longer matters. It's what he wants me to do. And so we need to allow him to instruct us and to teach us in the ways we shall go and to guide us with his very own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Boom, 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 boom. Every time that pulses, are you trusting in the Lord? In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's pretty inclusive. There's nothing left behind. There's nothing left for you. You pursue the Lord, and he will take care of you. But you need to love him with all your heart. You need to love him with all your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And you need to love him with your strength. I exercise. And I try to control what I eat. Why? In order to maintain a body that responds to the decisions I make to engage in activities to serve the Lord. Now, some of you may say, well, pastor's just doing that so he can look good in front of people. I tell you, it is not true. That's a side benefit, maybe, but it's not the motivation. I am doing this so that I can serve the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to live like you're going to go to 90. And I know if I'm going to get to 90, I can't stay on the path that I'm on right now because, let's see. What was it? 5 years ago? They told me if I stayed on the path I was on, out of 100 people in this room, I'd be the most likely to die today.
Wow.
I had to change. If I wanted to be of service to the Lord, I had to change. Do I like exercising? Yeah. I like exercising more than I do monitoring what I eat.
Amen.
But 1 + 1 = 2, I keep telling myself. They both have to be there if I'm going to continue to be in service to the Lord. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you something practical that comes out of this passage. That if I want my heart to continue to beat for serving the Lord, I need to make decisions. And I need to treat everything that I decide and do as if it's part of my service to the Lord. Why do I go to work? Well, so that I can maintain a household, so that I can have the fundings necessary to live in this world that we live in, so that as I do that, I now have enough time that I can dedicate it to serving the Lord through preaching to you folks, to going out and ministering to the needs of others, and I have something left over to give and to get people excited about how God provides for them. You know, yesterday I had the wonderful privilege of saying Montague Baptist Church would like to help your family in the midst of their disaster. And they says, oh, God has doing such a wonderful job of taking care of us. You see who got the glory out of all that sacrifice? God did. And that was the goal. Because I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And the question becomes, what about you? What part of all are you leaving out? The order every event of your day as if it's something God wants you to do. You're brushing your teeth. God wants you to do that so you won't offend those people that have to smell it if you don't. Put on your best clothes. Why? So you can impress people? No. So that you can build a bridge to people and not offend them and turn them off. Oh, I thought about wearing something different this morning, and I'd really like to wear something different today. But I said, no, I don't think the people would understand that. If I came in my sweats and in my sweatshirt, I don't think you'd appreciate that. And I want you to listen. So I make those decisions. You see, we're talking about simple things, aren't we? But you can see now where the motivation comes from, and that's what you need to order into every decision that you make, because that's loving the Lord with all your soul. And every activity that you plan, is it for the glory of the Lord or is it for the comfort of Glenn? Those are the questions that we have to ask with every event. How many of you have a calendar and you put things on your calendar? How many of you have a to-do list and you put things on your to-do list? Is everything on that to-do list there because you want to love the Lord thy God? I hope so. It could be. It's not a matter of what you're doing. It's a matter of the attitude that you're doing it. And that's what he's saying. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And if we are going to go into battle, we're going to have that mindset that, Lord, whatever it takes, if you want to blow the whistle at 5 o'clock in the morning and drag me out of bed and take me through a 15-minute prayer circuit, Lord, I'm there. Lord, I might struggle, but you help me be there. Lord, if you're going to wake me, if you're going to prod me when I get home and I'm tired and I want to sit down and you're going to say, Clem, I need you to pick up that Bible and read it. I got something to say to you. Lord, I'm going to do it. We need to have that attitude, or we're going to not see the battle as the Lord's. We're going to see the battle as Rob's, and he better take care of the situation. The battle is the Lord's. And so every decision I make, I have to make it with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, so that I can be following the Lord into battle and not rushing ahead of him, but following him into battle. And the only way we as a church are ever going to make a difference for God is if we are allowing him to lead us into battle. If we are ready as soldiers, if we have done the work that we need to do. And let me just give you an illustration. Some of you think, well, you know, Pastor, he's really good at that scripture memory stuff. He's got so many verses he can spout off here and there. But you know what? I don't find it easy. I got saved in 1978. And I started memorizing scripture in 1979. And I'm still memorizing scripture, and I still have to go back and review verses that I have memorized back then. And I was letting it slide, and I was letting it slide, and I was letting it slide, and the Lord convicted me, and he says, if you truly want to be effective, if you want to have your sword sharp, if you want to be ready for battle, you're going to have to get that thing out, and you're going to have to clean it up. So what did I do? What can you do? Oh, some of you are saying, oh, I can't memorize in scripture. Baloney. What's your phone number? Don't tell me you can't memorize. You're not memorizing because it's not a priority for you. And I'm telling you that just every spiritual exercise becomes a matter of decision for you. What are you going to do? And how often are you going to continue? I have had to put it on my checklist. Scripture memory. I didn't say scripture memory for an hour. I don't even mean scripture memory for 15 minutes. But make an effort to review one verse at least, and then try to memorize one more. Two verses all week. That's all. But I believe that in that is an illustration of the amount of dedication that we need to have if we're going to love the Lord our God with every beat of our heart, with every decision, with every emotion, with every thought that we have, and with every ounce of energy that we expend. It's going to take us pursuing those goals that God has put in front of us. And I know it's only, where is that date? 7th of January. But let me guess. You failed a few of those things that you set out to do already, haven't you? And what you want to do is say, oh, well, there's another year. Let's just quit. No! Time for you to get back up there to the pull-up bars and try to do it one more time. Oh, you may never get to do two or three, but if you keep trying to do one, God's going to be happy with that because you're giving him your everything. And so you need to get back up there, and you need to get back to that Bible, and you need to say, Lord, help me to read a little bit today. Lord, forgive me for where I fell, but let me read a little bit today. Let me memorize some scripture today. Lord, help me to reach out to someone today. Lord, help me to be ready to witness today. We have to pick it up. We have to keep practicing. It is otherwise we are not loving the Lord our God with everything that we have. We are less than stellar, and that is not acceptable, and that will not help you. You'll wonder 6 months down the road, why am I not spiritually growing? What's wrong? And it'll never dawn on you, well, you know, back in January 7th when you decided that you weren't going to continue reading because it was just too hard, that you weren't going to try to memorize any scripture because it just seemed mundane, you weren't going to go to church anymore because it's just too hard to get out of bed on Sunday morning. That's why you're not spiritually growing. Because you're not loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Shall I say it a few more times? I don't know if it's going to do any good at this point. Either you've heard it, or you haven't. Either you've decided to act upon it, or you put it in the rubbish pile along with all the other sermons. But don't come to me in the middle of the year and say, why am I not growing? Because I'm going to point you back to today. And I'm going to say, what did you decide on that day? I may point you back to this coming Sunday and say, why didn't you listen to the message that's coming to you about pursue and pursuit? I might take you back to last year and say, do you remember what we talked about is the most important thing in the family of God? It's the Word of God. Folks, we've got to stop being passive about our faith. And we need to start being exertive about every decision we need to make. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being such a wonderful God, being so patient with us. And Lord, for giving us a reminder that we need to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And Lord, as I repeat this phrase a few more times, may you drill it down into the heart of your children, not because you want to beat them down, but because you want to pump them up. You want to fill them with your love and grace that only comes as we spend time with you, loving you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Guide and direct us, Lord, and help us to make decisions today that will count throughout this year to come and will help us to stand in the midst of the battle, because the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Stand if you will. It's time to sound the battle cry. Are you ready? Are you going to do something about what you just heard? Or are you just going to whisper it and let it be? Come nothing.